In Quark's bar, Jadzia Dax sits at the Tongo table, pitting her wits against Quark and several other Ferengi.
Sell it 20.
Is that a joke?
Do I look like I'm joking?
Mm. Great.
Discount the exchange by 15.
She has him.
She's down 50 strips.
Not for long.
What makes you so sure?
Well, Jadzia is playing a very deep game. Her strategy will become apparent any moment now.
I see. You have absolutely no idea how this game is played, do you?
No. But I have developed a new appreciation for it.
Since when?
Since I married a Tongo player. But one thing I am certain about, she will defeat the Ferengi bartender.
I don't know about that. Quark's in a roll.
In the last month, he's won 206 straight games.
Would you care to make a wager on the outcome?
I wouldn't want to bet against a man's wife.
If you are afraid, I...
Name your stakes.
One bottle of blood wine against one bottle of scotch whiskey.
Done.
A sale at 50 and a purchase at 100.
Pretty big talk for a lady who's lost 50 strips.
Are you afraid I can't cover my bets?
Perish the thought. I just hate to kick somebody when they're down. I'll buy at 100 and confront.
Well, if you're going to kick me, I'm going to have to kick back.
Unbelievable.
Desta Parmakai. I like my blood wine very young and very sweet.
Is he a friend of yours?
Just a fan.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint all your fans.
A full consortium?
207.
A single malt, preferably something from the Highlands.
I will need some time.
Oh, your credit's good. Straight.
36 strips of gold-pressed latinum.
Did you lose a bet?
It is of no consequence.
I'm sorry about that.
I would rather lose a bet on you than win on someone else.
Ooh, good response.
She wraps her arms around his neck and draws him into a passionate kiss. In their quarters later, they get ready for bed.
Are you still running that drill tomorrow afternoon?
I was planning to. Why?
Because I wanted to recalibrate the external sensors before the night watch comes on duty.
We should be done by 1600 hours.
Well, I think that'll work. Oh, the Sutherland is going to be here the day after tomorrow, and...
She turns her mirror to watch his reflection and stops. Worf kneels before a wooden shrine, eyes closed, head bowed, his arms crossed over his chest in prayer. Finishing his ritual, he stands and blows out a candle atop the shrine, closing the doors to seal the ceremony.
You were saying?
Nothing.
Jadzia's nightdress lands on his head and he looks over to see her snuggled in a fur blanket.
I don't feel like talking anymore.
His passion slowly building, Worf crosses to the bed. He throws her slip over his shoulder and lies down. Opening the blanket, she envelops him in it as she lies down on top of him and kisses him passionately. On a table by the bedside stands a photograph of Worf and Jadzia on their wedding day. On the bed, they snuggle together.
Carrot, Worf.
Waking at the sound, he rolls slowly over as Jadzia pulls the blanket away from him and turns her back.
Worf here.
Sorry to bother you, Commander, but I need to see you and Jadzia in the captain's office immediately.
We're on our way.
He turns on a light and gets up. Jadzia pulls a pillow over her head and snuggles deeper into the blanket.
Jadzia, get up.
I'm coming. Hey! We don't have a lot of time, so I'll get right to it. For the last 2 months, Starfleet has been receiving military intelligence from a Cardassian operative. That operative has now sent an emergency signal indicating he needs to speak to someone in a face-to-face conversation. In 13 hours, he'll beam an encrypted subspace transmission to these coordinates in the Badlands.
Who is the operative?
Intelligence told me that his name is Lasaran, but that's all they'll say about him. They did emphasize several times that he is very important to them and that we should send someone to the Badlands as soon as possible. So, with the Defiant gone and most of the runabouts off on exercises with the Ninth Fleet...
We just volunteered for a trip to the Badlands.
Afraid so. Shenandoah is prepped and ready to go on landing pad A. Good luck.
Nodding, Worf and Jadzia exchange a mock look of despair and head for the runabout. The Shenandoah runabout lifts off from landing pad C and turns around a tall docking column, maneuvering into clear space. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Change of Heart, voiced by Marston York. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station Deep Space Nine is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. Spacecraft, tiny in comparison to the station, buzz around the circular form. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer circle on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other, and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. At one end of the semicircular arms, a huge starship has docked. It has the flat, saucer-shaped head, cylindrical body, and two engine arms of a Starfleet battlecruiser. Spacecraft of every imaginable shape and color and dimensions are docked all around the outer circle. One spaceship unlocks itself from a docking bay and flies over Deep Space Nine, accelerating away. In the distance, the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of a wormhole becomes visible, and the craft flies through it to another galaxy. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense, pale blue light. On board the runabout, Worf looks sheepishly over at Jadzia and hands her a data recorder.
No.
No?
No, I'm not going to spend 2 weeks hiking across Vulcan's Forge in the middle of their summer.
I thought you always wanted to see the Forge.
See it, yes. Honeymoon there, no.
Well, there's a mountain climbing expedition on Andor that caught my attention.
Worf, my love. Let me make this very clear. I do not want to spend my honeymoon climbing, hiking, sweating, bleeding, or suffering in any way.
All right. What do you want?
Room service.
Room service?
Room service. I want to be pampered. I want a staff to cater to our every whim. I want to be embarrassed by the size of our room. I want a balcony with a view that would make you want to break down and cry from the sheer beauty of it all. And I don't want to spend one moment of our honeymoon suffering from anything except guilt about our complete self-indulgence.
Ryza.
Not this time. Welcome to Casperia Prime, the vacation capital of the Hovarian Cluster.
You have been planning this all along.
It seemed fair. You did plan the wedding.
Very well. Room service.
Really?
Really.
Well, that was easy.
Did you want to fight over it?
No, it's just I didn't expect you to surrender so quickly.
Surrender?
Bad word.
Very bad.
Okay, but you have to admit you've been unusually accommodating lately.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing. It's just unusual. Are you feeling all right?
I am a married man. I have to make certain adjustments in my lifestyle.
Adjustments? Worf, you're practically easygoing. What's next, a sense of humor?
I have a sense of humor. On the Enterprise, I was considered to be quite amusing.
Well, that must have been one dull ship.
That is a joke. I get it. It is not funny, but I get it.
I don't know if I can get used to the new you. It's kind of eerie.
Your problem is you cannot accept change.
I can't accept change.
That is correct.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. I've changed bodies 6 times, Worf.
Yes, but you are still very set in your ways.
And look who's talking.
Well, I do not have to sleep on the same side of the bed every night, or brush my hair exactly 50 strokes every night, or eat the same thing for breakfast every day, or read the last page of the book before the beginning, or lift up.
I get the point. I don't know how you can live with someone so monotonous.
It is not easy. That was a joke.
This is going to be a very, very long trip.
Come in.
You're not dressed.
Is it time?
1700 on the dot. We have a holosuite for the next 3 hours, and we're going to need every minute of it. Three British agents have disappeared in West Berlin. Now, MI5 suspect the Soviets were involved, of course. However, the Americans have intercepted what are you doing with a tonga wheel?
I'm brushing up my game.
You play tonga?
Sure. Well, I used to. That is, I played a game once, a long time ago, with a Ferengi privateer and a Romulan mercenary.
Fascinating. Anyway, the Americans have intercepted a series of messages from Istanbul to a remote island in the South Pacific, which might indicate...
Let's play a hand.
Miles?
Just one hand.
Why?
I need the practice. I want to beat Quark.
Good luck.
Luck has nothing to do with it. Tongo is a game of strategy and calculated risk.
I don't even know the rules.
Well, here.
All right, let's play.
I'll deal.
Shenandoah log, stardate 51597.2. We have arrived at the designated coordinates near the Badlands and are awaiting the transmission from Lazarin.
This is it.
A very sophisticated encryption matrix.
Whoever he is, he's good.
Who are you?
I'm Commander Worf. This is Commander Dax. Starfleet Intelligence has sent us here to receive your transmission.
A Klingon? Why did they have to send a Klingon?
I'm a Trill. Does that make you feel any better?
Are you trying to be funny?
Oh, not at all. He's the funny one.
What is it you want?
We'll get to that in a minute. First, I have something that you want, badly. Information on the Founders. I know how many of them there are in the Alpha Quadrant, where they are, and what they're doing.
We're listening.
I'm sure you are. Now let's talk about what I want. I want out, now.
You want to defect?
The Vorta advisor here is getting suspicious, asking questions, making a lot of routine security checks in my section. I can't stay here any longer.
Very well. We will relay your message to Starfleet Intelligence, and they will arrange to bring you out.
I can't wait for them to make arrangements. In 15 minutes, I am leaving here for the Dominion base on Sukara, and I have a feeling this is going to be the last time that they let me leave Cardassia Prime. So, I need to take advantage of this opportunity.
Sukara is inside Dominion control space. It will not be easy to make a rendezvous near that planet without being detected.
Don't work your brain too hard, Klingon. I've taken care of everything. 3 days from now, at exactly 1730 hours local time, I will leave the base and walk into the jungle. It'll be at least 2 days before they know I'm missing. All you have to do is get me off the planet. Now, there are transporter scramblers protecting Sukara, so you can't beam me aboard your ship. You're going to have to land and meet me at a rendezvous point on foot. I am sending you all the information you'll need to avoid the Dominion sensors on the ground. Follow my instructions. Meet me at this rendezvous point and have a ship waiting.
We've got the information. It looks pretty thorough.
We will need time to study these plans.
You haven't been listening. I don't have time. Once I leave here, I can't contact you again. I have to know if you're going to be there or not, and I have to know now.
We will be there.
How far I've fallen. Risking my life on the word of a Klingon. 3 days. Don't be late.
The screen goes blank and Worf scowls at Jadzia as they enter the new heading. Miles and Julian are still playing Tongo.
All right, I'll buy at 30 with sales at 35.
535, sell at 150 and index the margin at 10%.
Index the margin?
Miles, give it up. This just isn't your game.
We'll see about that. Evade. Do you realize that Quark has won 207 straight games of Tongo?
So?
So someone has to beat him.
And that someone is you?
Why not?
Well, for one thing, you can't play Tongo. Confront.
Ah, damn.
Had enough.
Not by a long shot.
Miles, at this rate, it's going to take you another 20 years to be ready to take on Quark.
One more.
Why are you so determined to beat him?
What's the challenge?
A challenge?
Isn't it enough? I mean, why do you think I became an engineer, huh? The challenge. What do you think's kept me kayaking down the same river week after week for the last 7 years? The challenge. Why would I keep playing darts against somebody with a genetically engineered hand-eye coordination, huh?
The challenge.
Exactly. I have to do something to keep my mind off the fact that Keiko's been away for the last 6 months. Hold on. Maybe I can't beat Quark. But you can. You and that genetically engineered brain of yours.
Me? Haven't you just learned how to play the game?
Yeah, in about 10 seconds flat. We can do it, Julian. We can beat him.
We? You're talking about me?
Yeah, well, you're good at calculation, but a little weak in strategy. I'll be your coach.
No, thank you.
Think of it as a challenge.
That's your obsession, Miles, not mine.
Do it for the Latinum.
Nice try.
Do it for the satisfaction of the look on Quark's face when he's beaten at a game of Tongo by a lowly human.
Deal the cards.
The runabout Shenandoah speeds through space towards the planet Sukara. The stars around are stretched into thin lines by the speed of the small craft.
We are approaching the Sukara system.
Stand by to bring us out of warp. Now.
There's an asteroid field directly ahead.
That's what we want. The Dominion sensor grid in the system has three gaps, and they're all in that asteroid field.
Jadzia weaves a path through the tumbling band of asteroids.
Want me to slow down?
No, unless you think you should.
Not at all. In fact, it could go faster.
By all means.
Ooh, a man after my own heart.
Twisting the craft left and right, Jadzia accelerates through the asteroid field, narrowly avoiding both large and small spinning lumps of rock.
Most impressive.
Nothing that any 300-year-old pilot couldn't do.
We are being scanned from the surface.
Taking evasive maneuvers. Did they get a fix on us?
I do not think so.
Good. We've come too long away just to get shot down. If you take the helm, I'll scan the surface for a landing site. There's the base. The rendezvous point, and the Dominion sensor perimeter. There's a valley about 20 kilometers north of the rendezvous point. It's a long way to go on foot in the jungle, but I don't think we can risk taking the ship any closer to their sensors.
Agreed.
Having avoided detection, the Shenandoah slowly descends to the planet's surface, drifting down into the tree-filled cover of the valley.
We have less than 2 days to reach the rendezvous point.
About 10 kilometers a day. That shouldn't be too bad.
Do not underestimate the task ahead. We still have to penetrate the sensor grid and avoid the Dominion patrols.
I know. Find a man in the middle of an alien jungle, then walk him out without getting caught. Piece of cake.
Ready?
After you.
Setting their phaser rifles, they exit into the darkness. In the morning, they lie on the ground facing each other.
Okay, go to 25 joules.
Worf activates a laser device aimed at a round sensor in the ground as Dax moves out of the way of a large lizard.
25 joules.
Done.
That's it, we're linked. Here, check my work.
Dominion encryption lockouts bypassed, tricorder linked to their sensor grids, life signs masked. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Of course. Our tricorders will be useless from now on.
Well, there you go again, looking for the cloud and the silver lining.
I am not complaining. I look forward to walking through the jungle without a map and no idea of what lies ahead.
Well, the funny thing is, you probably are.
Five Ferengis around the Tongo table turn mockingly towards Miles and Julian.
This is a Ferengi-only game, gentlemen.
You let Dax play.
She's an exception. The only exception.
You're afraid I'll clean you out?
I'm afraid you'll embarrass yourself and ruin the game for the rest of us.
I think I can keep up. Question is, can you keep up with me?
Don't try and scare me with that genetically engineered intellect of yours, Doctor. Tongo is more than just number crunching. They have yet to create the computer that can master this game.
Then you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
You realize we're not playing for drinks. This is a high-stakes game.
We came to play.
Gentlemen? Mm-hmm. All right. The buy-in is 5 strips. You're dealing.
Miles' case contains only 5 strips of latinum.
You better get off to a fast start.
They won't know what hit them. By 300, set at 350.
You're a quick study, Doctor. I'll give you that.
You mean quick for a human, don't you, Quark?
I would never say anything so distasteful during a game.
No, you'd wait until it was over.
Yeah. Of course. Evade. Dax was a quick study, too. She told me it only took her 2 weeks to win her first match. That's practically unheard of.
Dax specializes in the unexpected. Still buying at 300, selling at 4. I'd like to index the margin at 20%.
Interesting. She certainly did the unexpected when she married Commander Boring.
That's for sure.
When they first started seeing each other, I thought, this can't last. I'll give it 2 months. I'll buy at 400 and sell at 5.
I had the same thought, although to tell you the truth, I only gave it a month. Confront.
She's a real heartbreaker, that one.
That she is.
Leverage the buy-in and sell at 550. You know, you go through a lot of ups and downs in my business. There are days when the profits are down and the customers are scarce, and you think you'll never see another strip of Latinum again. And then Jadzia comes in and flashes that smile of hers. Suddenly, things don't seem so bad after all.
I know exactly what you mean. You know, sometimes she walks past the infirmary and all she has to do is wink, and somehow that makes my whole day look a little brighter.
Focus, Julian. Focus!
Shh!
I'll buy that 550 and index the exchange at 10.
And now she's married.
Married.
Out of reach.
I'm converting my reserves and selling at 600. You know, it's really sad. What really keeps me awake at night? She's out of reach because we let her go.
Yes, I suppose so. But some things just weren't meant to be. Evade.
Julian, are you sure you
Chief,
want to...
please. You know the rules. No coaching during a round. You're probably right. But what if that's a convenient rationalization? What if deep down in our heart of hearts, we both know she's something unique? Something we may never see again. A chance at true happiness. And we let her slip through our fingers. What if 50 years from now, we each look back and say, what a fool I was. Confront. Doctor?
Hmm?
Confront.
Oh, sorry. Full consortium.
Total monopoly. You seem to be out of money.
Well,
busted.
Thanks for the game. Welcome back anytime.
Wait. Quark, did you really mean all that? About Dax? Being my one last chance for true happiness.
Doctor, you don't expect me to show you all my cards, do you?
Quark rattles the pot at Miles.
You lost.
What have happened to we?
We weren't mooning over lost love with the Ferengi holding a total monopoly.
You know that about Dax was meant to distract me.
Obviously.
I can't believe I let him get to me.
Not your fault. Genetically engineered or not, you're still human.
I guess.
Let's get a drink in.
Jadzia and Worf stride warily through the jungle towards their prearranged meeting point. Worf leads, finding a path through the meandering jungle. Jadzia keeps close behind him, starting nervously at strange sounds of the alien jungle. She trains her phaser rifle into the bushes, peering into the dark undergrowth for signs of movement as she follows her husband deeper into the mass of clinging vegetation. Steam rises from the tropical undergrowth as the sun rises higher in the sky, and Dax checks their position with the sun and her data recorder map. As the vegetation thickens, Worf cuts a path with his curved sword and they pass an enormous albino python.
Ow!
Jadzia hits Worf in protest at the pain as he treats a livid bruise on her skin, passing a Medi-Laser device over it to speed up the healing process. They push on. Worf barely reacts to the flicking strands of the plants, but Jadzia struggles through behind him, twisting and turning to avoid their sharp leaves. She suddenly aims her phaser rifle at movement to her right. A large lizard scrambles over a square block, more frightened of them than they are of it. Slowly, cautiously, they walk along a pathway. Trees and plants overhang them, but they no longer need to push through the foliage. Worf still leads, cradling his phaser rifle, alert and wary. Reaching a small clearing, he turns to Jadzia, who nods, and while Worf scans the trees and bushes, she throws her jacket to the floor. As night falls, Worf shivers against the cold, trying to stay warm by the glow of a survival heater on a small box.
Oh, let's not stand on pride, shall we? Trolls don't like the heat and Klingons don't like the cold. There's no shame in admitting it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, how are you enjoying your honeymoon? Are you suffering enough?
Almost.
Is there anything I can get for you?
More pain. Less cold.
I don't know why that's funny, but it is. Mating call?
500 meters. That way.
Well, that didn't take long.
Less than 300 meters.
Another happy couple.
When I was a boy, my father used to take my brother and me on camping trips in the Ural Mountains. Every night, we would listen to the wolves howling in the distance. Nikolai was afraid of them, but I would lay in my tent for hours just listening. I remember being seized by the urge to just rip off my clothes and run into the night and live in the forest and become something wild.
He must have been rejected. He's moving away. She's not happy. What? They're getting further away, aren't they?
Yes. But it's because something is coming. And it is close.
Quickly, Worf leaps up, shrugging off the blanket, and grabs his phaser rifle. They both hurriedly clear the campsite, throwing their blankets and mats behind a fallen log and jumping behind it for cover. Jadzia grabs the survival heater and deactivates it. In tense silence, they watch the jungle and the clearing, peering through holes in the rotting log, waiting for the intruder. Suddenly, the bushes ahead shake violently as something pushes past them. Both Worf and Jadzia follow the movement, peering along the sights of their phaser rifles as three Jem'Hadar warriors step cautiously into the clearing. The leader checks the area and waves his colleagues forward. They spread out over the small clearing, phaser rifles raised. Jadzia looks at Worf and nods. As the lead warrior approaches the fallen log, she opens fire. Worf kills the second, but he fires, hitting Jadzia as Worf hurls his dagger into the warrior's chest.
Jadzia!
He takes a hypo spray from his bag and presses it to Jadzia's neck.
Lie still.
I think I can do that. I have the good news first.
No vital organs were damaged.
Now the bad news.
The disruptor burst left an anticoagulant in your system.
So you can't stop the bleeding?
No.
Well, I must not have taken the whole burst. I'm not hemorrhaging that bad yet. Just give me a pump full of painkillers. I must be on our way.
Moving could make the bleeding worse.
Staying here isn't an option. Someone's gonna come looking for them when they don't check in. And I'd rather take my chances on foot. You ready? You ready?
Ready.
Let's go.
Jadzia heaves herself to her feet and slings her pack over her shoulder, heading into the jungle. Worf follows, stopping by a dead warrior to pull out his dagger. As the sun rises, Worf checks their position. Worf turns back to Jadzia, who is slumped against a rock, sweating with pain. He kneels down beside her, watching her face tenderly.
We're still 12 kilometers from the rendezvous point.
And only 20 hours left. Well, I guess it's time we stop having so much fun and pick up the pace, huh? Oh, more plasma. No thanks, I'm full.
Your blood pressure has dropped another 20%.
Love that bedside manner. You know, you should have been a doctor.
He checks her wound.
Your bandage will need to be changed soon.
I think I'd like a blue chiffon bandage this time. Maybe some rhinestones. Something with a little pizzazz.
This is no joking matter. You are seriously injured, and we have a great deal of terrain to cover.
Just trying to lighten the mood.
This is neither the time nor the place.
What happened to that new Worf? You know, the one with the sense of humor?
That was a mistake.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means if I had not been joking with you, I would not have allowed the Jem'Hadar to get so close.
So this is all my fault?
No. It is mine. I was trying to be something I am not. By letting down my guard, by ignoring my duty, I allowed my wife to be injured, and I put the entire mission in jeopardy. It will not happen again.
That's not what happened. Without our tricorders, there's no way...
I do not wish to debate this. We have a long way to go and very little time.
Fine, let's go.
She shrugs him off as he tries to help her stand, and with anger blazing in her eyes, she sets off into the undergrowth. As they forge on, Jadzia's strength is sapped by the pain, and she leans against a tree. Once again, she shrugs Worf away as he tries to help her. He nods and walks on past her. Grabbing her side and pushing her hand on her bandage, she grits her teeth and follows, stumbling through bushes, trying to keep up. They stop for a moment for Worf to check their bearings, and Jadzia leans heavily on a rock, fighting the pain in her side.
Ready?
She nods and pushes away from the rock. The vegetation thickens the deeper they penetrate the jungle. Passing a tumbling waterfall, they have to bend low to avoid overhanging branches. Worf leads, peering into the dappled light filtering through the trees and plants, alert and cautious. His phaser rifle is held ready in his hand. Jadzia, struggling to keep up, staggers on, consumed with agony. Worf turns to help her over a fallen log, but as she steps over, the pain in her side intensifies.
Nothing funny. Could be serious. Life and death. We got a job to do.
Jadzia, I know you are tired, but we have to cover 3 kilometers before nightfall. Can you do it?
As long as you got those painkillers, I'll follow you through the gates of hell, sir. That was almost a smile.
When this mission is over, I will smile all you want.
Oh, you promise?
I promise.
Then let's finish this mission and get out of here. That's all right, I can stand. Just help me get my balance. Help me balance. Or maybe not. Things aren't looking up.
There's been another drop in your blood pressure, and your neural EDL readings are erratic.
So what's your prescription, Doc?
Surgery. At a starbase.
Can I get a second opinion? Worf, You have to go on without me. And I know that. I understand.
My duty requires that I complete the mission regardless of my personal feelings.
Absolutely. You're a Starfleet officer. So am I. And I understand.
The information Lazarin has could be potentially invaluable to the war effort.
You don't have to explain to me. I'm hurt. You're not. And there's a job to be done.
I will be back tomorrow night.
Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
I can have you in the stasis chamber on the runabout in 45 hours.
No problem.
I will leave the med kit. Scan yourself at the tricorder every half hour. The plasma hyperspray will be set.
I took basic first aid. I know what I have to do. Worf. It's been a great 2 months, hasn't it?
Yes. Jadzia, I just want to tell you how...
Just kiss me.
She cradles his face in her hands and gently he leans towards her. She closes her eyes as their lips meet in a tender kiss and Worf sits back watching her pallid, pain-creased face. He hands her a phaser rifle and places his hand reassuringly on her shoulder before turning away. Jadzia watches him stride away and her resolve cracks. Tears of pain stream down her face and she clutches onto the rifle, slumped in agony against the log. Worf quickly makes his way through the jungle, his eyes alert, scanning the undergrowth through the steaming haze of heat. Half running, the only sound Worf is aware of is the beating of his own heart. He pushes through bushes and stops, listening and staring around at the trees, his eyes blank, lost in thought. Looking back the way he had come, he draws his dagger and hurls it at a tree as a sign. The dagger sticks out of the tree at head height, glinting unmistakably in the dappled light. Jadzia leans against the log. She is unconscious. Fearfully, Worf presses his fingers to her neck, checking her pulse and heaves a grateful sigh of relief. Hoisting her over his shoulders, he turns away from the mission and rushes back to the shuttle. Worf sits at a console in a room off the operations deck. The door slides open and Sisko enters.
What's the word?
She is still in surgery, but Dr. Bashir is hopeful she will make a full recovery.
Lazarin's dead. Starfleet Intelligence intercepted a transmission saying that he'd been killed trying to re-enter the base at Sukkara. Could you have made the rendezvous?
Yes.
But yet you turned back to save Jadzia.
Yes.
Were you aware that the information that man had could have saved millions of lives?
Yes.
So what happened?
You may not understand.
Try me, sir.
You were at my wedding. You heard the story of the first two Klingon hearts and how nothing could stand against them, and how they even destroyed the gods that had created them. I've heard that story since I was a boy. But I never understood it. I mean, really understood it. Until I was standing in the jungle with my heart pounding in my chest, and I found that even I could not stand against my own heart. I had to go back. And it did not matter what Starfleet thought or what the consequences were. She was my wife, and I could not leave her.
As your captain, it is my duty to inform you that you made the wrong choice. I don't think Starfleet will file any formal charges. Even a secret court-martial would run the risk of revealing too much about their intelligence operations. But this will go into your service record. And to be completely honest, you probably won't be offered a command on your own after this.
I understand.
I have also issued new orders. You and Jadzia are not to be assigned to a mission on your own ever again. One last thing. As a man who had a wife, Jennifer had been lying in that clearing, I wouldn't have left her either.
Jadzia lies on a bed, her eyes closed, her face is relaxed but unmoving. Worf sits beside her, his huge hand gently holding hers. Suddenly her fingers twitch lightly against his and he leans over to watch her face. Slowly she opens her eyes and focuses on him.
Hey, I know you.
We have met.
Oh, you're joking again. That's a good sign. Did you make the rendezvous?
No. I could not leave you there. Not for Lazarin, not for the mission, not for anything else.
Lazarin?
Dead.
Are you in trouble?
I've been in trouble before.
I'm sorry. I should have kept going.
You have nothing to be sorry about.
I know how much your career means to you.
You come first. Before career, before duty, before anything. And I do not regret what I did. And I would do it again.
I don't know what to say.
You could say, thank you for saving my life.
Thank you for saving my life.
And you could say, I would do the same for you, Worf.
Well, I'd have to think about that. My career is very important to me, you know.
And you could say, I love you.
I love you.
And I love you.
He leans gently down to her and tenderly kisses her forehead. She closes her eyes in peaceful happiness and he watches her face, looking deeply into her eyes as she looks back up at him. The end.